Well, the weather warmed up today, Baruch Hashem. Thank God, we're lucky. Is everybody over here breathing?
Yeah.
Good. Page 23, breathing. Take a deep breath. Be aware of your breath. Be aware of it. Every time you breathe, you should thank God. Every time you breathe, thank Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Be grateful for every single breath. That's what the Midrash says. Be grateful for every single breath. And then you will spend your life being grateful. Wow, what a powerful idea. Being grateful for every breath. You know, there are courses we talked about on appreciating wine. There's also courses on appreciating art. Page 23. Breathing appreciation can enhance our lives. Appreciating every single breath. That can enhance a person's life. So, be aware of every single breath a person takes. And when you breathe slowly and deeply, your nervous system relaxes, becomes calmer. One of the lessons they give us in rabbinical school, you know, how to stay calm as a rabbi, you know. Sometimes you gotta stay calm. Meditations. Slow breathing. Breathe slowly and deeply. Stay calm. And a person should appreciate. And Baruch Hashem. I can breathe. Baruch Hashem. Wow. So people always ask Rabbi Plitzkin, say, how can I connect with Hashem? And Rabbi Plitzkin says, just breathe. What do you mean, just breathe? And the answer is, every breath you take, say, Hashem, thank you. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. So a person's got to understand that when a person's breathing, they can feel God's love. Oh, that's amazing. That's very powerful. Just by breathing, we should feel Hashem's love. A person's awake, but we're alive, we're breathing. And we're all addicted. All of us are addicts to oxygen. We're addicted to oxygen. We can't do without the stuff. Just try to hold your breath for 30 seconds. And think, I need my oxygen fix.
Worst things to be addicted to.
Well, listen, we're addicted to oxygen. Let's face facts. They even sell oxygen. They even sell you a little can of oxygen. Like you need an extra bit of oxygen, so I'll give you a little bit of a can. So this is a healthy addiction. No one suggests you give it up, right? It's a healthy addiction. You need it. So upgrade your quality. We're breathing anyway. Let's upgrade the quality of each breath. How do we upgrade the quality of each breath? Thank you, Hashem, for that breath. Thank you, Hashem. I can breathe. Baruch Hashem. I'm so lucky, you know. So a person's got to appreciate, and that helps a person become happy. How does a person become happy? With gratitude to Hashem. I can breathe. Oh, wow. See many people today, and they're on, go to the hospital, see, in the ICU, oxygen machines, breathing machines, breathing support. Oh, boy. Baruch Hashem, we can breathe. That's a million times. We have to thank Hashem. We won the lottery today. We can breathe. Wow, that's how to become happy. How? You have to appreciate what you have. So we have so much to appreciate and enjoy every day of our lives. What stops us from appreciating? Taking things for granted. We take everything for granted. Everything a person has. Just go home and look around you. Everything you have, well, thank Hashem for this, thank Hashem for this, thank Hashem for this. So much we can thank Hashem for. Person has children, you have so much to be grateful for. Your grandchildren, you have even more gratitude. Person has a spouse, be grateful. So many singles today, I can't believe they can't find a spouse. I just can't believe it. I don't know.
We should start a service here.
Please
there
do.
There is one?
There's one in town, but I don't know how effective it is.
What kind of service?
They have every Rosh Chodesh, there's a Rosh Chodesh group. They meet in, where is it?
What's her name?
R-P-R-Y. Exactly, yeah.
When they're blanking out.
But is it very religious?
Yes.
So we're not
It's Jewish.
Well, we can be Jewish, but there's Jewish and there's Jewish.
Yeah, so listen, there's plenty of sites on web. There's plenty of sites. Okay.
And there's the women's group that
Okay. So to appreciate, we have to appreciate everything we have. You have to train your brain. That's the whole thing. It's an art. A person's got to train their brain to be thankful and gratitude for everything they have. And be aware of what I have now, what my sense. I can move my hands. Baruch Hashem. I can move my legs. I can breathe. I can see. You know, I had a tinnitus, a little bit of tinnitus. It lasted me for a week.
Oh, you were lucky.
And it went away. Baruch Hashem, I said, thank God a million times. Now I know what it is.
I have a
10 of them have.
I'll tell you, it's terrible. It's a disaster. Tinnitus is you feel noises in your ear. You feel, and not really there, it's part of the brain. Something happens to the brain. I don't know what happens to the brain. So I went for a ear exam. Baruch Hashem, thank God. I'm very happy. But we have to appreciate what we have.
My goodness.
We have to appreciate what we have and be thankful of what we have. And so we can move our hands, we can lift, we can pull, we can turn, we can press. We can walk, Baruch Hashem, thank God for that, you know, I'll tell you. Walking with those crutches, oh God. Walk with crutches. Be mobile, it's such a gift. Imagine. To be mobile, it's such a gift. We take it for granted. Let's not take it for granted. We have to practice being mindful. That's what we're talking about. Practice being mindful of what a person has. Choose one a day. Focus, that's what I do for the in the Shmona Esrei. When you pray the Shmona Esrei, focus on one bracha a day. Obviously, you got to pray the whole thing. You can't just pray one bracha. But think of a different bracha to focus on every day. Just one bracha. So too, focus on one benefit that we have. One part of our body that's functioning properly. Notice colors. Appreciate the shades and gradations. Wow. One day, be mindful about your ability to hear. Thank God I can hear. The person says, sometimes it's better not to hear. But you can be choosy. You can pretend you're not hearing, but really you're hearing. What's it called? Selective hearing. Selective hearing. I didn't hear you, dear. What did he say? You gotta be careful what you hear, what you don't hear. You know the famous story about Nelson. Have you heard of Nelson, Admiral Nelson? Nelson was admiral in the British Navy. And he was a very famous admiral. He beat the French many times over. But in one of his battles, he lost his eye. And in those days, the ships would communicate by flying flags. So the flags would fly, and he could read the flag. It says, don't fight, go away, stop. So one day, he put his telescope to the blind eye. I can't see those flags. Selective seeing. Appreciate every possession you own or can use. Oh boy, we have so much, we have so much. We're so grateful. Silverware, cups, watches, clocks, chairs, tables, beds. We have so much we can't even take it with us. Aliyah, what are you going to do with all this stuff? Be grateful for your clothing. We're so lucky. Just go to the store and pick up any... You know, in those days, it would take them 6 months to make a shirt. In those days, interesting, if you look at the price of clothes in those days, it was 6 months a person's rent. Monthly rent is much less than the price of clothing in those days. Clothing was... Really, it took ages to make clothing. Ages. You want clothing with color? Oh boy. You know how much cotton? The color costs so much money. Just make color. Dyes. All the dyes. Amazing. Only rich people could have dye. That's why it's called royal blue. Why is it royal blue? It's a sign of royalty. You know, every Jew had to have a blue string on their tzitzit. P'til techelet. The Romans abolished it. What? You mean you guys are royalty? You're not royalty. You're not allowed to do it anymore. The Romans stopped it 2,000 years ago. It got to the point where we don't even know what it is anymore. Some people think they know what it is. Some people think they don't know what it is. So
we
it's.
We went in Israel to the place where they make it.
I know, but we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure. They think it's right. Yes.
Is that string that we talk about? Was it connected to making sure you realize that
your royalty,
spiritual is royalty?
100%. We're linked to God. We're God's children. So that's the idea. We're royalty. Every Jew is royalty. And the rabbis say that through blue string reminds us of God. Through the sky. You see the sky in the blue of the sky. It's the blue of the sky. So a person forgets God and sees the blue string, he should remember himself, Shamayim. It says the blue of the sky is the same blue as the Kisei HaKavod, whatever that means, the throne of glory of God. I don't know what that means. So it's royal blue. So a person's got to appreciate everything we have, everything we obtain one by one, and add a spiritual dimension. And think of each thing we have as a gift from Hashem. So even though we buy it and we do everything, we have to imagine as if this Hashem gave me a gift. If I bought a brand new suit, you know he's going to think, Hashem gave me a gift today. He gave me a beautiful suit. You buy a nice watch, Hashem gave me a gift today. It's a beautiful watch. So a person's got to appreciate and feel God's love. That's what we have to do. A person's got to practice feeling God's love through their lives. Feel Hashem's love. Whatever a person has, they should feel Hashem's love. So, okay, page 27. You have to remember that the world was created for us. Every single human being. Hashem created the world for us. Right? The Gemara says, each and every person in this world is obligated to say, this world was created for me. Wow. World was created for me. hard to imagine. Hashem created the whole world for me. And that's how a person can gain immense wealth in just a few seconds. Imagine a person thinks, this whole world's created for me. Tremendously, how wealthy I am. Hashem made this whole world just for me. If you think about it, thousands of people around the world are working just for me. Just for you and you. Everyone. Right? If the sanitation workers are cleaning the road, they're cleaning for all of us. They're working for us. If the electricity company is producing electricity, it's working for us. If the water company is working for water, working for us. All these people working for us. It's amazing. Think about it. It's amazing. The army is working for us. They're defending us. The police forces keeping the streets safe. They're working for us. So each one of us is tremendously wealthy. We have all these people at our disposal. We just ring the call and they're here. It's a miracle. We're so lucky. We are so lucky, really. But the alternative is looking at the other side. And that is, if the world is created for us, we are responsible for the world as well. Each one of us. That's the trouble when a person throws litter on the floor. People don't realize it's my world. I'm making my world dirty. I was reading an article, I don't remember where, about this American guy made Aliyah. And he goes through his neighborhood in Baca, wherever it is, in Yerushalayim. And in the morning, he has like a 2-hour volunteers to pick up the litter. Boy, yeah, he's very busy in Israel. I don't know why they litter. They litter, litter, litter. It's terrible. Disaster. But here he's trying to fix it. And if he gets volunteers to go around Yerushalayim picking up litter, boy, you can do that full time, all day, 24 hours a day, and it's still not dead. It's fighting a losing battle. Especially some neighborhoods where they have a lot of kids. Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of kids, but you have to teach the kids not to litter. You know? It's a real mess. So here he is. So he's trying to make a little dent in fixing the world, picking up the litter in Yerushalayim. By the way, it's a tremendous merit. In those days, in the time of Aryeh Levin, the tzaddik in our time, beautiful story, it says that the janitors, the garbage trucks were run by Jews. Today, you won't find Jews on the job. Maybe the drivers are Jew. You won't find Jews picking up garbage. It's not a Jewish thing. And Jews don't like picking up garbage. So you find it's all the Arabs running the trucks. And so here, but in those days, all Jews. And the garbage collectors were very embarrassed. Imagine, they're all Jews. Going around their own neighborhood, people recognize them and say, oh, so-and-so is a garbage collector. Very embarrassed. So one day they met Rav Aryeh Levin on the, he was got up very early that morning. And they're used to people looking at them and giving them a strange look. He comes to them, gives them a big hug. They're all dirty and smelling. He gives a big hug. He says, I appreciate you guys are so... I said, what? You appreciate us? He said, yes, he says, you're cleaning up the streets of Yerushalayim. You know what the mitzvah that is? To clean the streets of Yerushalayim is a tremendous mitzvah. Make Yerushalayim look beautiful. It's a tremendous mitzvah. So they got tremendous chizuk from that. They were very happy to hear that. And they're doing a mitzvah by cleaning Yerushalayim. People don't realize what a mitzvah. Some things are very small, but in Hashem's world, it's very big. You do small things. Keeping a shul clean. I mean, I should give this drasha. Keeping a shul to you. You guys are wrong people. Talk to keeping the shul clean. The shul functioning. 100%. They're honest labor. But still, I mean, they're also cleaning Yerushalayim. This is one of the hardest things to do in the Beit HaMikdash was Trumat HaDeshen. What's Trumat HaDeshen? Cleaning the ashes off the altar. Right. And the Kohen had to go and do it. And it says not only would the Kohen do it, they would run to do it. Because they were motivated to clean God's house. It's a tremendous mitzvah. So remember, when a person sees the sun, halavai will see the sun. And maybe tomorrow we'll see the sun. Remember, the sun gives you light and heat. Trees and flowers, halavai will see some flowers soon. Mountains and lakes have been created for your benefit. The stars and the galaxies expand our dimension. Can you imagine if Hashem just created a planet with no stars and no galaxies? There'd be nothing to look at. Imagine the night. Boy, it's amazing. Amazing to give us a little idea of the immenseness of Hashem. Think about it. What is it? 10 to the 19, to the power of 19 stars in the galaxy. Trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of stars. Trillions. You can't imagine how big this universe is. And yet, there are more atoms on a pinhead than stars in the sky. How can we understand that? We see Hashem's greatness in the small and the big. It's amazing. How many atoms on a pinhead? And you know how much energy, if you split one atom, how much energy you can smash this whole country? Just the energy in one atom. Atom bomb. Amazing what you can do. How many atoms in one pin? Amazing. How many atoms in the human body? Kind of think there's more atoms in a pinhead than in the stars in the sky. It's hard to imagine. Really hard to imagine. What's even more fascinating is the table looks solid, right? The truth is, everything which is physical is more space. It's 99% space. Because the atoms, the neutron, the little nucleus of the atom is so small, and the electrons are whizzing around it, so the majority of an atom is space. So every physical thing you touch, it's not really you touching it. It's not me touching it. The atoms can't touch anything. So what's touching it? The electromagnetic fields are interacting. When you touch someone, you're not really touching them. You're touching their electromagnetic field. Your electromagnetic field is touching their electromagnetic field. Wow! You're looking at someone, you see they're real. They're not really real. 90% of the body is water. And 90% of the water is space. It's hard to imagine how Hashem created the world. It's all visual tricks. This whole world is amazing. Hashem made it. It's called the world of truth. The rabbis call the world of truth. It's the world of Sheker. So really, Sheker is really what we're seeing as well. It's all perceptions. It looks like it's really here, but it's not really here. It's a bunch of atoms over here. You can't even see. It's like all mainly space. It feels solid. My hand is hitting the table, right? No, it's my electromagnetic field hitting the electromagnetic field of the table. Whatever that means, right? Okay. Tell you, there's nothing physical. The physical doesn't really exist. It's amazing. Birds and fish and horse. Wow, so many different varieties of animals. So many different varieties of birds. Different varieties of insects. Everything God created, He created endless varieties. Amazing, to show His power. And yet we see it, we don't even pay attention. It's tragic. It's staring us in the face. We're busy with our own small worlds. We forget Hashem's world. That's the trouble. So we're busy with the iPads and the I this and I that. What about Hashem's world? And that's what we miss. Person can be miss Hashem's world. The land, the sea, everything on them, beneath them, are yours to benefit from and preserve for later generations. So this is amazing. There's a beautiful story. He brings it up. It's again the Gemara. The Gemara says, one day a rabbi was walking down the street. In those days, you know, there were very little municipal laws, and there were very little organized police and stuff. And therefore there was a man in his field, clearing his field from rocks. And where is he throwing the rocks? He's throwing the rocks on the highway. Taking the rocks from his field and putting them on the street. So the rabbi says, excuse me, he says, why are you taking rocks from a place that doesn't belong to you and putting them in a place which does belong to you? So the owner says, this rabbi is crazy, what he's talking about. I'm taking rocks from a place which belongs to me, so I'm putting them in a place which doesn't belong to me. One day it says he got poor. This man got poor, and he lost his field. He's walking down the same street, and he fell over the same rocks. He says, now I remember what the rabbi told me. He says, the rabbi was so right. He says, it looks like this is my property, and the main thoroughfare is not my property, but really, the only thing we can really rely on is the main thoroughfare. Because he loses his property, but eventually he can still walk on the street, right? So it's interesting. We don't think so. We don't realize that we are very rich. Why? We have all this public property. It's part of us. Right. It's part of ours. You can go to any public park, enjoy. You can go to any public place and enjoy it. It's all yours. Wow. We're very rich. We are very rich. It's amazing. So even a person who's in debt is also very rich.
Garbage in the
public parks. Yeah, exactly. Same thing. They're throwing it to their property. They don't realize it's part of it's their property. So I think, my house is my property, this is not my property. Wrong, it's the other way around. Your house may not be yours eventually. Hopefully it is, but the property will always be yours. So, okay, so let's go to this story. It's on page 28. You might be short of cash from time to time. Regardless of how much cash you have, as long as you're aware the universe is yours, you are wealthy. This wealth was given to you as a gift. The moment you were born, and it's yours for the entire lifetime. All you need to do is think, the universe is mine. Psh, universe is mine, I don't know. How do you think if the universe is mine? The universe is so big. So, the universe is mine, someone told the rabbi, Rabbi Pliska. Who am I going to fool? I'm deeply in debt. My dreams are not to become rich, I just want to get by. How is it going to do with the universe being mine? I can barely get by. You're telling me the universe is mine. How's it going to help me? I always felt deprived and missing out on what life has to offer. You're telling me the universe is mine. How's it going to help me? He said, don't discount this idea. Without experimenting, test it out for an entire week. Okay, so the person says, you know what, I don't have anything to lose. I'll test it out. After 2 days of viewing the sun, everything else I saw is mine to enjoy and benefit from. I began feeling better. Obviously, talking about summertime. He saw the sun, enjoying the sun. He says, well, you're right. I mean, the universe is mine. I can enjoy the sun. Even though I'm dead, at least I get the sun to myself. It's like wherever you go in the world, you have a sun which is shining on you. It's a personal sun. It's amazing. When the week was over, he says, I felt like a totally new person. I had great energy and wonderful inner feelings. My mind was clearer than it had been for a long time, and I thought of a plan to resolve my financial difficulties. You know, that's one of the biggest problems. The biggest problem is, it's called, in Kabbalistic terms, it's called Muchin de Katnut. Muchin de Katnut means the person's brain is acting small. The person has to expand their mind. The person expands their mind. The person just focuses on one issue. They're lost in that issue, and the mind contracts to just focus on one issue. But a person who focuses on the big picture can suddenly see a solution to the small problems. The problem is we focus on one small thing, we forget the big issues, and then we can't solve. That was, we talked about the famous story of Hagar, right? Hagar's in the desert, and her son Ishmael is dying of thirst, and the angel comes and opens her eyes, and she sees the well. What does that mean? He opened her eyes. It doesn't say he created a well. It says he opened her eyes, which means she couldn't see the well. She couldn't see the solution was right there. Most problems in our lives have the solution right there. The trouble is we can't see it. That's why you always have to go to a second opinion. You get a doctor's opinion, you got to go for a second opinion. Sometimes you go for a third opinion, fourth opinion. The solutions are there. Not everyone knows the solution, unfortunately. It's amazing. How even the same, the guy's a GI, and this guy's a GI, and this guy's a GI. They're all different. They're all different opinions. And some are good ideas, some are bad ideas. You got to market, you got to shop around. It's amazing. Okay, let's go to page 29, chapter 8. Wise choices. The family went to the zoo on a holiday with a taxi. There was a crowd, and the taxi left the passengers 2 blocks away from the entrance of the zoo. Okay, so 2 blocks away from the entrance, and all the family gets out of the taxi. And one person complained, we paid for the ride. He put us 2 blocks away from the zoo. What should we do? 2 blocks away from the zoo. It's not right. Another said, let's look at the beautiful scenery. Look at the scenery. Let's look at these beautiful trees. So there's two ways of looking at things, right? You can look at the scenery, you look at the trees, or you can complain about the taxi. There's two different ways in life. People like to complain. That's the story about the guy with the dog. And he tells the dog, run. He throws something to the dog, throws a ball, and the dog runs to get the ball a few times until the dog says, finally, he says, I'm tired. I'm sick of doing the same thing over and over again. So the guy said, I didn't say fetch, I said fetch. We like to fetch, that's it. We like to complain. The person likes to complain. That's another famous story. Another famous story, it says this woman had cataract and her daughter was looking after her, and obviously in those days they would have to bandage the eyes. And so when the doctor says it's time to take off the bandage, the daughter says, you know, where should I put my mother? I'm going to take her up to the attic. There's a beautiful view outside. So the first thing she sees, when she can see such a beautiful view, she takes her up to the attic. She takes off the bandage from the mother's eyes, and the mother's looking out. And guess what the mother says?
What are we putting in the attic?
She says, what a dirty windowsill. What a dirty windowsill.
Well, she could see well.
So it just shows a person's perspective. And instead of saying, wow, what beautiful scenery. Why do we complain? Why do we look at the bad? Look at the good that God created. Look at the beauty that God created. A group of friends arrived at the bus stop. And they just missed the bus. The bus was just moving away. One said, isn't it awful we have to wait for another bus? The other one said, now we have time to discuss plans we never had a chance to speak about. So it's two different ways of running one's life. You want to be a happy person, choose to be happy. Choose the non-complaining way. Choose the way of praising God and thanking. The rain prevented them from following their original plans. One said, it always seems to rain on our parade. Now the day is ruined. The other person said, what can we do instead? What can we do instead? That's fine. Two individuals were told the airplane was overbooked and they would have to wait for the next flight. One sulked and felt miserable the entire time. You know, the worst thing for me on a flight is when they tell you they lost your kosher food. Especially on flights where there are no Jews, so there's no other kosher food. That's it. If you're in New York to London, no problem. They can always find kosher food on the flight. But if you're flying in Canada and they tell you, sorry, we mislaid your kosher food, what are you going to do? Nothing you can do. So it's a long flight and you're starving. So they say, can we bring some fruits? Okay, sure. You can bring fruits. So a person can sulk and feel miserable the entire time, while the other person was reviewing some important ideas. And he says, listen, now I have time I never had before. I can review things. So a person's got to choose what their brain focuses on. That person wants to be happy, focus on parts of your life that you're happy about. Focus on the positive. Focus on the positive. A person focuses on things which they don't like. Focus on things which are disappointing. Focus on things which are distressful. How are they going to be happy? All they're focusing is on the negative, 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 negative. That's a negative person. So the trick of being happy is, one of the tricks is to focus on the positives in one's life. So a person says, you know what, I'm working hard. And it's hard. But you should say, thank God I have a job. Thank God I have work. Thank God I have money coming in. Thank God a million times, trillion times. Remember in 2008 when everything collapsed. The economy collapsed. It was terrible. 2008 was terrible. A lot of people in the shul lost their jobs. It was like, terrible. So a person has a job and they say, thank you a million times. You're working hard. You have two jobs, you're even more grateful. You're even more grateful. So we choose what our brain will focus on. We can choose to be happy, focus on the good, or we can choose to be on the miserable and focus on the bad things. So it's very, very important. Even during the most perfect day, there's always going to be someone who's going to complain. The most perfect day, you can imagine the most beautiful summer day, and the people complain, and a person says, you know, it's awful, you know what, my average day isn't like this. Thinking about the bad days ahead. Or the other person says, it's too bad it doesn't last longer. I love this day, but I wish it would last longer. Or a person says, you know, it's pretty good, but it's not perfect. You can always find something to correct. Always find something to talk about. So happy people make happiness producing choices of focus. Focus on things which make you happy. Don't focus on things that make you miserable. Focus on things you have. Don't focus on things you don't have. Ezu Ashir Sameach Behalko. You'll be happy what you have, not what you don't have. Not going to make you happy. On the other hand, we can always be happy, always think about bad things which we could have as well. He says, you know, you walk through the hospital and say, thank God I don't have this, thank God I don't. You know, last week I was at an amazing medical facility. I've never seen it like it. It's in Summit. Have you heard of Summit Medical Facility? Wow. There are, I don't know how many pavilions there are, full of doctors, full of different kinds of doctors. These buildings are like four stories, full of doctors' offices, full. I've never seen, look. Have you ever seen, is there anything else like that in New Jersey? Amazing.
Where is it?
In Summit. Summit. That's why you've never heard of it, because it's like another planet. So different from New Brunswick. Well, night and day. So it's amazing. And you're going to thank God I don't need that doctor, thank God I don't need that doctor, I don't need this, I don't need that specialty, I don't need that, thank God a million times. Just walking through there and seeing all the specialties and saying, thank God I don't need it. And everyone's full. All these doctors are full. Everywhere's full. Amazing. So a person can look at the bad side, a person can look at the good side. Thank God I can walk. Thank God I can see. Thank God I can hear. Thank God I'm walking around. A million times.
I go to a doctor and I fill out all those forms that they make you fill out every time.
Yeah, and you see, I don't have this and I don't have that.
Right. Most of them I'm checking no, and I'm like, thank God.
That's right, exactly. Thank God.
It's all right, no one reads it anyway.
Very few of them
Right. Thank God, a million times. Thank God, yep, exactly. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. So a person can look at the bad side or a person can look at the good side. Happy people make happiness producing choices. That's the thing. To make happiness producing choices. We have to make choices to produce happiness. So one of the choices is to look at the good side of things. Think about things that make us happy, not think about things that make us sad. That's the thing. Think about the good choices. Some people automatically blame and complain so much they view that's their reality in life. The reality in life is everything's bad, everything's dark. How can I not complain when things are not the way I want them to be, they will ask. Whereas happy people would say the opposite. Since feeling good is such a high human priority, why would anyone needlessly focus on things that make them feel bad? They focus on things that make you feel good, not things that make you feel bad. Just an experiment. Let's try this experiment this week. How can I focus on things that make me feel good? What should I focus on that make me feel good? Keep this up for the entire week. If an anti-happiness thought can jump to the forefront, what's focus? A week is too long to do this. This is too much for me. I can't do this anymore. Or it's a hard week. A person's got to focus on the good things and try it, and then you'll be a happy person. So that's a happy person, focusing on good things. Always focusing on good things. You have a guy who always asks me, he says, Rabbi, my year. What's going to happen? There's this problem. What's going to happen? I said, Mashiach's coming one day. Don't worry. We have this good thought. Jews always have this good thought, positive thought. We always end with positive thought. One day the Mashiach will come, all our problems will be over. The trouble is, a person with a negative attitude, his problems are never over. Even Mashiach's here. Man, the guy is standing up at the Mashiach's door every day. This is bad. But Mashiach. Well, you didn't solve all my problems, sorry. I'm very disappointed.
I don't believe that's really Mashiach.
Listen, look at they were in the desert. They were in the desert with Moshe Rabbeinu and God. The food is bad. The man, it comes down for free. It's free. You can taste whatever you want. But it doesn't taste of certain varieties of food which are bad for you. But that's what I miss the most. What do you mean? What kind of man is this? I don't want this. I don't like the way it looks. I get rid of this already. I've had enough of it. I'm sick of it. Same food every day. Imagine. And they're surrounded by clouds. And they said they walked on the floor. It was like carpeted with cloud. The floor was even and smooth and cool. Can you imagine walking in the desert? And they were complaining. Oh, yeah. It's amazing how people complain. A person can complain. I heard this story. Don't take it literally. Guy goes to heaven. Very religious. Very, very religious. They ask him, what would you like, fish or meat? He says, who's the Mashkiach over here? Hashem is the Mashkiach. Give me fish. Like a horrible joke. It just shows, right? People are never satisfied. God is the Mashgiach. Give me fish. Okay.
But it's a basic nature of a person.
I don't know, that's why we have to change our natures over here. It's interesting.
Like just naturally positive. They look at things.
It's not natural. It's who your parents are, who your role models are. And it's learning, and it's what you learn from your surroundings, and it's what you teach yourself. There's a lot of different things that go into it. But we can make our choices. That's why we're here today. We're here to learn about it. Because a person cannot change their attitude even in Olam Haba. Whoever we are now, that's how we die. A person goes to heaven, their soul has these attributes, or whatever they had in this world. The Vilna Gaon says that our purpose in this world is to perfect ourselves, our personalities in this world, because whatever we are in this world, we take with us to the next world. So imagine a person kvetches in this world, and we're going to kvetch in the next world. This is heaven. This is what I expected. What's going on over here? That's not what I wanted. I wanted something better. Come on.
So how can we change the person?
By focusing on positives right now.
Let's focus on the positives.
Let's focus on the positives now. Yes.
So if you are an optimistic person, which I am, you find yourself, people criticize you a lot. They say, what are you smiling for? Why are you? I mean, seriously.
Good.
They look at me and go, what's wrong with you?
That's their problem. Exactly. That's their problem.
It's a weird thing.
It's a weird thing because today most people in the world.
They own the problem. You don't.
Yeah. So it's very important. So you're lucky. Just be lucky. Thank yourself. Thank you. Pat yourself on the back. If they're telling you you're strange for being happy, it's even better. Thank God. Baruch Hashem. Yeah, thank God.
You fish into the new job, and your workers complained that I didn't ask for their help.
Okay. This is a very powerful, what we're going to talk about now is very powerful, page 32. And I used to do this when I had nightmares when I was a kid. What do you do when you have a nightmare? And the answer is, you got to vision your brain like a TV. You can press channels. It's true, we can press channels in our brains. And I figured that when I was a kid. I'm a kid with nightmares. What do you do? And the answer is, you can choose what you think about. Even in a nightmare, you can choose what dreams you have. So a person has a nightmare, they can say, listen, let's flip the channel. Just like you do. A TV, right? Flip the channel. So a person can flip the channel in their brain. Listen, I want something else. I want to see something else. It says the Arizal could choose which shiur he would go to in Olam Haba when he went to sleep. So one night he would go to the shiur of the Rambam. One night he would go to the shiur of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. One night shiur to go Rabbi Moshe of Moshe Rabbeinu. Can you imagine? A person can flip the switch. We can choose what we want to see. A person says, you know, Hashem, I want to see Rabbi Akiva. Who knows? Who knows? It's not visions of Rabbi Akiva. There's books called Visions of Greatness. Very beautiful books. I think there are five now in the series. Beautiful stories. Amazing, very, very, very motivational, powerful stories called Visions of Greatness. If you can get all those books, those are great books to read. Especially before you go to sleep. You have positive thoughts. Fantastic. So the question is, how do I change the focus of my brain? I tend to think of the negative. I worry a lot. My brain focuses too much on thoughts that are not conducive to happiness. What do I do? And the powerful tool is to tell the brain next. Flip the switch. Flip the channel. Next. Then your brain will joyfully move on to another picture, idea, song, series of words, thoughts. We can keep flipping the channel in our brains. Who's going to think of that? Flip the channel in your brain. That's amazing. What a powerful idea. Instead of thinking of bad things, negative things. Flip the channel. Move it on to something powerful. Move it on to something good. A brain can choose enormous amounts of material which they have already thought. You know, the brain contains so much information. We just don't know how to access it. That's the trouble. The difference between a person who has a good memory and a person with a bad memory is accessing the brain. Because there's so much information stored in the brain. The trouble is we you know, someone asks you, what was the name of so-and-so? I can't think of it right now. Why can't you think of it right now? Because I forgot how to access that information. The brilliant people know how to access the information. So Rabbi Akiva, brilliant. How do you access the information? He says his mind was like a store. He had everything on shelves in his head. He knew exactly where to go to get that information. He knew exactly where he parked that information in his brain. That's how computers work. They know where that information is stored. You do a search, and it comes back out. Sometimes our brain goes on, when we don't know how to search that information, it just doesn't come out. We know we put it somewhere in the brain, we just don't know where it is. We can be more organized in the way we put our information in our brain, where we file it, under which heading. You know, it's amazing. So you tell the brain next, and the brain has a tremendous library of information. And today it's much easier. You just go and pick a book off the shelf, and it feeds information to your brain. You get a positive book. Some books are so negative, even though they're really holy books, but they're about the Holocaust, about this. It depends on you. Some people can't take it. Don't do it to yourself. There's no mitzvah to torture yourself. There's no mitzvah to torture. Yeah.
You don't need a book, you got a Google.
Right.
Let's say it's Shabbat. Because when do people have time to think? It's Shabbat usually.
Right.
So that's when the Yitzhar attacks them. When it's Shabbat and there's nothing else. And people say, oh, I'm all alone.
That's
it's very hard when it's on Shabbat. When it's a daytime, normally you're very busy. Normally, hopefully people are busy. If a person's not busy, you have to find a way to focus the brain. Yes.
That challenge is more true. We're good at books, right? But our kids, teaching them to not depend upon Google or their phones, that's the problem.
It's very hard. It's very, very hard for the new generation. For my people texting on Shabbat. You have people who go to yeshiva, kids go to yeshiva, and they text on Shabbat. They're so attached to it, they just can't. They can't give it up. Yeah. You see kids in town, walking down the street Friday night, meeting late at night. Groups of kids. It's tragic. The muksa, yeah. But they can't do it without it. It's like a drug. Like they're addicted to it.
Yeah.
It's very addictive. The phone is so addictive. We can't. Thank God for Shabbat. We can just put it away for a week, for a day. It's amazing. They're doing research. How come Jews stop smoking on one day a week? It's like these guys are addicted to smoke. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Shabbat, they put the cigarettes down. How do they do it?
My great uncle
did it. Thank God it's not so common anymore.
I remember my father stopping.
And as soon as Shabbat's over,
they put it on, back on, right.
My great uncle. And Shabbat was 3 days.
They stop every Shabbat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was addictive.
Every Shabbat,
it's amazing. They do research on it. They do research on it. It's like, how do they stop? How do they stop? And the same thing we can do with the brain. We can move on next.
Right.
Press the next button. I don't have to think about this. Sometimes we are slaves. We become slaves. We can't control our brains. That's the problem. The problem is we can't control our brains. The idea is that we're the boss. We're the boss of the system. We can control what our brains focus on. We can control our thoughts in our head. We have to be able to control the thoughts in our head. Because certain thoughts are forbidden. Lo taturu Achare? Levavchem? Vachare? Enachem? It's so hard. Don't go after your heart and your eyes. I mean, don't go after your heart. Don't go after the thoughts of your heart. What's the thoughts of your heart talking about? It says idolatry. Idolatry was so common in those days. People think, you know, I love this. If you go, there's a room in, I don't recommend you go there. There's a room in the Israel Museum. It may be good just to go see it once. Full of idolatries they found. They unearthed archaeology. You know, they picked up all these idolatries. See all these gold images and bronze images of all these things. People actually worshipped in those days. See the Lord of the Flies. They had a little fly made of gold as a necklace. They would kiss the fly. That was their god.
Mexico when they're having the religious
parades
and carrying the statues with them.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it, but okay. We're coming to it. That's next week's topic. The divergence between Christianity and Judaism. Next week at 10 o'clock, please bring your families and friends and husbands and whatever.
The divergence? I'd love to bring my husband.
10 o'clock.
Call him back.
10 o'clock. Next Sunday.
What was last year? You did something?
Yeah, last year we did.
Was the same thing?
No, I gave the thought last year. But this year, someone better than me.
That's not possible.
So, everything's possible.
Class is canceled next week?
Well, you want two classes? Yeah. How many same classes time? Do you go to one at the same time? 10 o'clock next week. Just come.
One after the other.
Very interesting guy. And if you can think of a shidduch for him, you'll do a big mitzvah. If you can think of a shidduch for this guy.
Same guy that spoke on Tisha B'Av.
Yeah, many years ago.
So I already heard him.
Yeah, but it's not the same. It's a different talk.
How old is the guy?
Different topic.
I think he's 40. In his 40s.
In his 40s.
No, but he's different. It's a different topic. That talked about more his life story. This is more about philosophy. Okay. So next, choose something good to think about. Choose a fantastic, wonderful scene you can create on the spot. Brains do this all the time, even when you're asleep. You can do this when you're sleeping. You have a bad dream, flip the switch. Hit the switch. And when you're kind to your brain, it will be willing to do this even when you're awake. So it's what we have to do. We have to control what we're thinking about. A person's got to control what they can think about. We have to know that there's many things the Torah forbids. And the reason why the Torah forbids it is not because Hashem is putting a plow play over us. Because Hashem says, this is not good for you. It's not good for you. And we see this today. Many things people are doing today which is not really good for them. We see it today. Like, I was reading, I came from Vancouver. I was in Vancouver many years ago. I just read yesterday. 15 people died of overdose in Vancouver yesterday. One day. Overdose of drugs. 15 people died. It says usually at least 15 people die a month. But now it's 15 people a day.
It used to be so amazing in Vancouver.
It's amazing. It still is amazing. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. But people are bored. People get bored. They want to have a kick. They want to get a kick out of life.
I just read a news article about how these drug overdoses have increased here in America.
I'm just saying, I mean, but over there, it's like people are shocked. It's shocked. 15 people died in one day. Young people. These are people who have their whole lives in front of them. So why are they doing these things? So the answer is what I'm saying is the Torah tells us how to live a good life, how to live a happy life, how to live a positive life, and don't destroy yourself. There's so many pleasures out there. So have a pleasure, but enjoy the pleasure to the fullest. Make that pleasure gratitude, the trip. So you say a bracha before you eat. Say a bracha after you eat. Say gratitude to Hashem. You know, it's interesting. Let's end off this note. I said a few weeks ago, let's see if anyone remembers. We say the Birkat Hamazon. And slight variations between Sfaradi Mashan, just very minor variations. Hu heitiv, hu yeitiv, hu meitiv lanu. We sing it, right? Hu heitiv, hu yeitiv, hu meitiv lanu. Very good. If you think about it, hu heitiv is in the past tense. He did good for us in the past. He did good for us in the present. He did good for us. He's going to do good for us in the future. So when we're thanking God, we're not just thanking God for now. We have to thank God three tenses. We thank God for the past. Hu gemalanu, he gave us. Hu gomleinu, hu yikmalenu, he gave us. He is giving us and he's going to give us.
Wow.
How do you get that guarantee? If you thank him for the past, the present, the future, he's going to look after you in the past, the present, the future. Where do we learn it from? We learn it from a very interesting pasuk. The pasuk says that Leah called her son, the fourth son, Yehuda. Ata odeh l'Hashem. Now I will thank God. And in fact, the name Yehuda is used the word for the word Jew. The word Jew came from Yehuda, Judah. is really mean thanking God. That's what it means. Odeh Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. It's a beautiful source of the word. And it eventually became a slur. So amazing how it became a slur. But the whole name, you've got to say the whole name, Yehuda, is a thank you to Hashem. So the question is, the next pasuk in the Torah, who can tell me what the next pasuk says? She stopped giving birth. She thanked God and she stopped giving birth. Temporarily, at least.
Right.
What's going on? She just thanked God. Why should she stop giving birth? You think Hashem would bless her even more now? So we learn from there, she only thanked God for now. She didn't thank God for the future. This is a wild. A person thanks God. If you're in the mode of thanking God, thank God for the past. Thank you, Hashem. I had a great life. You know, I didn't have a great life. Thank God I lived to this age. I reached this age. Every year we thank God for living to this age. Thank God we got to this age. Shehechiyanu. He kept us alive. Thank God. V'kiyamanu v'yanu. We got to this age. That's thanking God for the past. But now we've got to thank God for the present. And then we've got to thank God for the future as well. And if we thank God for the future, we're guaranteed a future. But come on, the person thanks God for the future. God says, you thank me for the future? We don't have a future yet. How do you know you're going to have a future? I thank God because I trust in you. You trust in me, you're definitely going to have a future. So it's a very beautiful idea. Let's end off with that idea. Thank God for the past, the present, the future. And let's decide to only think about good things, positive thoughts. Thank you. Now we're on chapter 10. Our next Shabbat, we have a great Kiddush as well, the Kiddush luncheon, free Kiddush luncheon for the whole community.